Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
You guys sound like two annoyed roommates.
That's just one way to describe us.
Was there a delay in my mic coming on?
No, there was a delay in my mic coming on. Maddie's got a lot of buttons and things to press.
I just wanted to introduce him as soon as we could.
You just wanted me to be censored, kind of like you get censored from time to time. But only I was censored inadvertently. When we censor you, it's like giving Pauly the gong. You know, it's done on purpose.
Don't ever compare me to Pauly.
It's a fair point. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you aboard with us. 5 minutes and change after the hour.
I have the stupid charger.
It's good to be with you a little bit later than normal. But either way, it's also good to see the sun, for God's sakes. That was nice. A nice change of pace on the way in. It was like a changeup, like an 82-mile-an-hour changeup that the Baltimore Orioles are going to swing right through because all you can do is hit home runs, you dumbasses.
Wow.
How about scoring a run? How about doing something?
How about
playing small ball?
How about
not playing
up?
Analytics? How about not exit launch velocity? We got to hit home runs. Score a run. Put a little rally together. Do something, for God's sake.
Showing up to the ballpark.
Well, that would be nice, too. That'd be nice, too.
Mets fans would never.
Good afternoon, Liddell. How are you?
I'm
I don't want to piss off Nats fans.
Well,
I don't want to piss off Nats fans. Because inevitably, back to me, I always wanted to
piss pissing people off. How am I? You know I'm not doing well. I'm angry.
I told Matt, walked in today, Liddell's happy. I said, that means we're a fun show, a fun three-hour soiree together. And then an hour later, disaster strikes. You want to tell the people or no? In case the people can find it?
If anyone's listening and finds my car keys, I mean, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Linnell left them on the Metro.
Even have my number to call.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, because you gave that out on the air yesterday.
Really helped me out.
You know, you could, you could put
you
all the pieces
means,
together.
Though? Because of... My lead in to getting here today,
mm-hmm.
you don't say anything stupid. That's my precursor to the show. You can't help yourself sometimes. I'm asking you not to do what you normally put words in my mouth and say I said we're going to go 18-0 and that I think Jeremy Chin sucks or that Bobby Wagner
yesterday you said both DeRon Payne and Jonathan Allen are not going to be here next year.
That's not what I said.
That's not what
I meant. I said both
it's
of them.
It's what you said.
One
it's
or the other. How about I say it this way? One or the other will be gone. Next year.
That's better.
I
have to hold your hand for 3 hours.
I'm not going to name call you because I'm more mature than that.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't like it, at NELL_BTP or two. You know what, man? I'm not in the mood, man. I'm really not in the mood.
Beats the time that I gave Corey. Do you remember Corey Lichtensteiger, the former center?
Yeah,
in the Mike Shanahan era,
he was so good, but his neck.
I in 2010, after I had just gotten to know him, I had him on the show back the first time that I was on this station, back when it was owned by Dan Snyder in a different studio, different city, all that. I was trying to give my producer his phone number to call during the break. Somehow, my microphone was still on, and his number went out over the radio. To say he was less than thrilled about that, but I didn't give out my own phone number. If you want to call me at 540-787. It's not my number.
Whose number are you giving?
I don't know. Anyway, let's get to it here on a Thursday because we got a lot to cover. Coming up, Linnell's Super Six Pack, the most revolutionary sports talk radio segment. Did the Commanders at 3-1 actually make it? Don't give it away. It's called a tease, my friend. Did the Commanders actually make it? But first, we open up with this.
Well, they do play here.
They do play here.
Boys and gals, practice actually was good this morning.
You were at Media Day today. I was earlier this week.
Was at Media Day.
You had Bilal Coulibaly on the show last night, huh?
I did. I'm excited, though, for the old Wizards. Jordan Poole on the ball all year long.
Let's see it. Let's see how it works. Hopefully, he's much better
Can't
first
wait
4 months.
Can start talking. I love you talking Wizards. That's my favorite. That's my favorite. So I really get to dominate the conversation.
Exactly. So one thing we wanted to obviously open, and we kind of hinted about it yesterday, can the Commanders' offense carry the defense? Is the most vague way that I can say it. And here's what we mean by that. Everybody would say through the first month of the season, yes, the Commanders' offense has carried the defense. Now, I don't think that's as true as everyone else does. I mean, 18 points allowed against the Giants.
Well,
again, got off the field in a couple of big spots against the Bengals. 14 points against Arizona. It really should have been less. They were screwed on that first drive. I think the defense has been better than the numbers, better than the reputation, what have you. But clearly, when your offense is averaging 40 points a game the last two games, and clearly it has been way, 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 way better since halftime of the Giants game in week two, the offense or the Commanders are being carried more by the defense. So here's my question. With the Cleveland Browns coming in, a very good defense, a defense that is far better than Cincinnati, far better than Arizona, and I would even argue better than the Giants, even though the Giants have a very good front seven and a very good pass rush and so on and so forth, I would say the Cleveland Browns are the best defense that this team has faced since at least week one, and you can make an argument depending on what you like, depending on who you are, what have you, because they don't have, meaning Tampa, they don't have a dude like the Cleveland Browns have in Myles Garrett that the Cleveland Browns defense is better. So here's the question overall. Can the Commanders offense against a good defense, if not a very good defense, carry or make up for a subpar defense of their own?
Not if they're going to decide to be soft and not stop the run. I mean, you're 31st in the NFL in yards per carry allowed.
Well, that has nothing to do with the offense. Meaning, can the Commanders' offense carry a subpar? I'm saying the defense doesn't have to be. It starts there.
That to me, they don't have to be subpar. Washington's offense is going to hit a lull at some point.
Right.
This may be the week.
Yeah.
Cleveland gets after the passer. They've got talented guys in the secondary. They're aggressive in the secondary. It's another, like you said, aggressive defensive coordinator. So I expect the offense at some point to regress back to the mean. What that means, I don't know. But defensively, like I feel like you give them more credit right now than they deserve. They don't do anything well. They don't. And look at, to me, like, and it all starts with their inability to stop the run. And I think Cleveland is a team that, at its core, wants to run the football. So they look at this matchup as, hey, let's go in here. Let's try to run the ball. And if they allow 5.7 yards a pop the way that they did against Cleveland, I'm sure Kevin Stefanski's not a poo brain like Drew Petzing, and he's going to keep running the football. That was my thing that I continue to say. They got away from the run. They could have kept doing it. Washington has not proven yet at all through 4 weeks that they can stop anybody's rushing attack. They jumped. Cincinnati was even able to run the football on them. New York ran the football on them. Tampa ran the football on them in the second half. It's been ever since the second half in Tampa. I don't think they can stop the run consistently, and that is my biggest – that still continues to be my biggest issue with this group. And eventually you're going to run into a group that wants to live and die by punching you in the face. Are they going to punch back? Because they haven't.
Okay. So, again,
Drew Petzing could have stayed with it on Sunday.
You keep saying that Drew Petzing thing. The game was 17-7.
He chose. Again, I don't care what the score was. I'm saying he chose not to stay with it. When you're averaging damn near 6 yards a pop and you only finish with the 29 carries that they finished with. But you should have ran the football
but
more.
You know this. A lot of the new age offensive coordinators want to attack through the air, right?
Correct.
And
I give you
let's just be honest. It's not like the Commanders' corners or secondary has been great either and hasn't been able to be shredded. So I don't kill the Cardinals' offensive coordinator, Drew Petzing, like you do, but that's your thing.
Their pass defense has been better the last 2 weeks, in my opinion. I even think against Cincinnati, they have did some really good things.
I agree with that because they've been better tackling. They've been better.
They've made some key stops and some key moments, and Dan Quinn pointed that out yesterday when he spoke.
Correct. I mean, they've also had I mean, and Chin's been involved in a lot of it.
Yes.
They've had guys converge on the football and force incompletions at the same time. Basically, like, you know, you talk
they're
about gang
fast.
Tackling, it's almost like gang coverage in a way.
But here's the
thing. Where you've seen that pass coverage, which has helped out on the back end. There is no doubt about it. But just real quickly, yeah. Going back to the Cleveland Browns are here on Sunday, right? I worry significantly about the run defense. Not this week. It's next week in Baltimore against Derrick Henry
get there.
And Lamar Jackson.
And I'm not even looking ahead to Baltimore yet.
I'm not trying to look ahead to Baltimore.
Because that's its own monster.
I'm just telling you.
You have a different level of respect, in my opinion, if you start out 4-1.
I don't think this team, the Cleveland Browns, is going to be able to mass expose the problems of the Commanders' run defense, whether it's tackling, whether it's gap, all that stuff. And therefore, I don't think the offense is going to have to carry, if you will, the day. Now, that doesn't mean Deshaun Watson can't make plays. That doesn't mean that you don't have Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper. It doesn't mean that in any way, shape, or form. I got it. They do. I'm just digging into the Browns tape. If you watch the Browns' first offensive drive last week against the Las Vegas Raiders, sure, they're aided by a 15-yard personal foul on a late hit on Watson, but Watson gets the ball all over the place. Swings, screens,
they
quick
have
game.
The personnel
they're
to
able
good.
To run it physically. And now, they don't have Nick Chubb yet, so because Nick Chubb is not expected to play even though he returned to practice, I'm a little less concerned with Cleveland being able to expose the Commanders, but that also means if they're not exposed, if they actually do a pretty good job against the run, again, the offense should not have to score 40 points in order for them to win this game, or 38 like it was in Cincinnati, or even 31. Guess what? If it has to, it's going to take a lot going right because I don't see it against this Cleveland Brown defense.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fascinating to me because I still, and maybe I'm being hard on Washington's run defense.
You are. I think they're getting better slowly in that area, but they're not good enough by any stretch.
And I'm somebody that watches the game more than just the numbers. But the numbers are bad.
The numbers
match the eye test.
The numbers are bad.
So that to me is my issue. I think this is the type of offense, which is a true West Coast scheme, that's going to try to come out and run the football to start because protecting Deshaun Watson has been a major issue for them. So Washington, if they can make Cleveland one-dimensional from the get-go, and when I say from the outset, literally discourage them from wanting to run the football by not allowing. Why is it every damn game the first play in the first run for the opposing team is a 6-7 yard pop?
It's a great question.
It's been every week.
But we also make them one-dimensional, and
I think they have a much better shot and they win.
Of course. But we also look at our offense and say, B-Rob, a lot of times, why were they so good on third down last year? Because they were ripping off 7 and 8 yards a pop on first and second down, or first down or second down.
Maybe it's as simple as this. The offense is tougher than the defense right now. The big boys up front,
mm-hmm.
offensively,
mm-hmm.
are whipping the opposing team while our defensive front's getting whipped. That's the best way that I can put it.
You don't think the defensive front, regardless of the fact that you did not like the game plan from Arizona and the ability to stay with the run, you don't think that the defensive front was better, a lot better, significantly better on Sunday? Or would you're attributing it just to they became one-dimensional by hook or by crook.
You didn't get after Joe Burrow.
Good.
Right. You struggled to get after Joe Burrow. You struggled to get after Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Arizona's probably the worst offensive line
I know,
you've played to this
point. I know, but they've got a top five pick at left tackle. It's not. It's not like
it can be a gift and a curse.
I understand.
It can be a gift and a curse.
I understand.
Look, I think the defense is. I'm not going to deny. I've said it since Sunday. They have gotten marginally better each week. The question is, how long until they have one of those performances like week one, where the offense does struggle a little bit, and defensively you've got to get a couple of stops?
Well, because here's the thing. It should be easy to get stops
when your offense is putting together 7.5-minute drives, Chris. Like, that's my thing. This is what they do. They're number five in the NFL in time of possession. And the defense still isn't capitalizing off of it. John and Deron are still, we're still making excuses about guys getting double teamed. You're fresh. You're not playing as many snaps.
I agree.
This is the best scenario they've been in their career.
I agree.
And they're not capitalizing on it.
I agree.
They're not.
And sometimes they're out for a complete series, which leads everybody to believe that they're being benched. Instead, it's just a deep rotation.
This scheme is starting to, teams are using this scheme against Washington. Because they're teaching guys to scream upfield, and they're overrunning plays like it's nobody's business. And that's the problem that they've got to solve here. You can scream upfield and not think about the run when you're in obvious passing situations. They don't play with IQ up front. It blows the hell out of me at times.
Well, this has been a little bit of a problem for Dan Quinn's defenses, right? And everybody loves the turnovers that they got in Dallas they haven't really gotten here. They've only gotten two, okay, or takeaways, I should say. Everybody screamed about that in Dallas all year last year. They could not stop the run against any team that was willing and committed to running the football. Buffalo, San Francisco, Green Bay in the playoff game, so on and so forth. So that is still a problem even with very different personnel here in Washington. So maybe that's more of a scheming thing. Maybe that's more of an attack aggressive mindset, a shooting gap mindset, which then allows you to kind of get out of gaps and maybe allows you to not hold up and anchor against the run and maybe run into double teams and so on and so forth. I mean, it's only four games. You act like they should be like the rock, the great wall, immediately. It doesn't work that way when you don't play at all in the preseason, and when you're in a new scheme, and when you're with new components all around you.
Here's the thing: as tough as I've been on Washington defensively, this next stretch that they've got, they're six out of their next seven, are against literally the most inept offenses in the NFL outside of Baltimore.
Yeah, outside
of
Baltimore.
And Carolina, I think, is probably the second best offense you play here in the next month. Chicago's been a joke. New York's been a joke. Pittsburgh is ridiculously uninspiring. You can go out and have good performances against these groups, but you have to stop the run against all of these teams.
And you know what's
DeAndre Swift just got going.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen? If they play well over the next five games, even if they play reasonably well against Baltimore and lose, people are going to say, well, you didn't play anybody. You know, I mean, and that's going to be
they got to dominate this next part of their schedule if they're for real.
I agree. What happens if the Commanders don't average 40 points a game, which they have the last two? What happens if they only score 24 points on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns? We'll examine that next. Will it be enough? We'll tell you next. Along with you, if you want to hop in on this, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Coming up, a little bit of breaking news on Jaden Daniels. You'll hear what we mean by that straight ahead on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, let's see if Linnell's found his keys yet. No? Not yet?
Wow.
Just teasing.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just trying to have a little fun, trying to make you laugh. Hey, it could be worse. Eddie D said, let's make sure Linnell doesn't give out his social security number on the air during this show. I don't think he's going to do that. Seriously, if anybody finds Linnell's keys and other things on the Metro.
None of these people are going to be able to find my... No one's listening on the Metro, I don't think, right?
Well, maybe they are. Maybe they could be on the Odyssey app. They could be doing a lot of things. I mean, you never know. You always talk about how people instantly recognize you. You're the youngest in charge, right? You're the leader of a movement, right? Did you know that... The other night I walked into Wawa in Chantilly and somebody looked at me and said, love your show, Rooster. So whoever that somebody was, thank you. I usually stop and engage. I didn't. I was in a rush. I was trying to get out of there. But whoever that guy was, I appreciate.
The cashier at my local Wawa,
that.
I stumbled in early Sunday morning, about when I sent my picks. About when I sent my picks. I go to Wawa to get their ice
water. By the way, the picks are due by 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah,
there,
they've got
boy.
Free ice water at Wawa, and I was...
You were, you were in need of ice water?
I was in need of ice water. Mm-hmm. I love going to get their ice water. Mm-hmm. I have a filter, my Brita filter, and I just filled it, but it takes too long to get cold, so I go get a cup of ice and then a cup of ice water from Wawa, and I fill it up. The Wawa's literally a minute away, so that's why I do
okay.
it. But I go to the cashier, and he was a really older gentleman. I was like, man, bear with me out there, our female audience. I said, I was talking to him just about women randomly. I was like, man, how many women did you go through in your life before you found the right woman in your life?
This is a weird conversation to be having with
a random
cash register.
But guess what? At the end of the conversation, he knew who I was.
Because he knew the voice,
At the end of it, he said, Liddell. He said, I thought that was you.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know.
Well,
I look like a complete weirdo for talking to it, but
it's okay. It's all right.
Think about what random conversation.
Well,
think about what that was after.
Being that you submitted your picks at like 3 in the morning, that was probably 2:30, somewhere in that range?
3:30. 3:29.
After you had hydrated, something like that. Anyway, speaking of your picks, 0-16 last year, Mr. 0-16 is back with us for another day here on the Team 980. Let's see if he can go 0-16 again this week. Thursday night football tonight, Bucks Falcons. We'll have a preview of that coming up later on. So here's what I wanted to tackle. Again, I think the Commanders offense against lesser opponents can carry the Washington defense if needed. And we saw two examples of that, Arizona and Cincinnati. Against better defenses, against better opponents, and when I say this week, I want to say better defenses, not better opponents, because I don't think the Browns are better right now in any way, shape, or form than the Washington Commanders. Even though the Browns' defense is still good, the Browns' offense is very pedestrian, is how I would say it, and certainly not next week against Baltimore. I say you're in trouble if you need the offense to carry you. Now, do you need the offense to score average 24? Of course. Against any opponent, yes, absolutely. You need to be a little bit higher than the league average. But you're not going to score 40 points or 38 points or 42 points every game against every opponent. So the defense has to start doing its share. The number one way that they absolutely can do that and still get away with some of their blemishes is by creating more takeaways, and they haven't done so just yet. They only have two takeaways so far, the Benjamin St. Juice peanut punch.
Here's the thing. You can't create takeaways when you don't get pressure. That, to me, is
Well, they got pressure last Sunday. Or
They did. They did a good job getting pressure last Sunday. I wonder how much of last Sunday was Cliff knowing Kyler inside and out.
Well,
They really, for a defense that had been struggling. Yes, they've gotten marginally better week to week. They turned it on Sunday in a way that I didn't think they were capable of. They held them under 300 yards. 14 points, forced a turnover. You can't ask for better than that. Can you do it again? Because they've shown no level of consistency. And because of how bad it was to start, I wonder how good it could actually get.
Remember, they did only allow 18 points against the Giants. I know they allowed a lot of yards, but they only allowed 18 points.
Who are the Giants?
It's not like they've been...
Cincinnati walked the football up and down the field.
I understand that. Cincinnati's a really good offense.
Tampa walked the football up and down the field.
Tampa's a really good offense.
Come to find out they are.
Like, here's the thing. If Cleveland and Deshaun Watson come in here and put up a 31 burger, then we've got real issues. Yes. Then we've got real problems. 301-230-0980. Are we too high and buying too high on the soaring Commanders offense, or are we selling too low on the Commanders defense? Want to discuss that next, a little buy or sell version when it comes to offense, defense. First, a quick trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, here's that news on Jaden Daniels. He is the NFL's Rookie of the Month. That's right. First time since, well, you know who, Robert Griffin III, baby, back in 2012, that the Commanders have such an honor. NFL Offensive Rookie of the Month, Josh Allen, Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, I should say, won other awards in the NFL's monthly awards. Lamar Jackson leads the NFL in rushing yards by a quarterback. Daniels is currently top 10 in every passing category, number 3 in the NFL, number 2 in the NFC in passer rating. Daniels also leads all NFL quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns with 4. Thursday night football tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really banged up on a short week. Heading into Atlanta and Kirk Cousins, the Falcons need to get it going. They barely escaped a win against the New Orleans Saints. Need to figure out a way to get Kyle Pitts on track. Baseball playoffs, well, we're down to one. One game only today after 3 of the 4 wild card round series ended last night, including a 2-game sweep by the Kansas City Royals in Baltimore up the road. The New York Mets and the Milwaukee Brewers take center stage tonight. First pitch just after 7 o'clock in Milwaukee for the right to go on and face the Philadelphia Phillies, and that's what's trending. Ah, miss Sunday night football, Carrie Underwood. Oh, a little before he cheats. If anybody can find Linnell's keys, we need them. We're looking for them. We're looking very hard during the commercial breaks for them. We're trying to track radar, GPS, all of that good stuff. If anybody finds them, let us know. Linnell will give you an award. I don't know what kind of an award. He will give you an award. Before we get back into a little buy or sell kind of weird, twisted question that I threw out there on Twitter, if you follow us on Twitter, at WrestleMania621 or on the X, at Nell_BTP. Practice update by Ben Standig. Austin Eckler is participating, according to Standig, in the open portion of practice, which I think was expected. Yesterday, again, he had the no-contact jersey. Now, Ben does not note that he has the no-contact jersey, so I assume he's wearing the regular thing, and he's been cleared. We will find out more. But this is a concern. You know who was a DNP yesterday? And who's right now? At least as of a little bit ago, with Standig, a DNP today, Brian Robinson. Robinson is not out there with a knee. That's what he was listed as. He did not practice
yesterday.
Getting
him some extra rest.
I think that's probably what it was because if it was really bad, like he was on with JP and Beamich at noon, if it was really bad, I don't know if they would have done that. Like, meaning, if he wasn't going to play this Sunday,
exactly,
or if he had to get a lot of extensive evaluations or treatment, it probably is just a, hey, man, on a short week, he carried the ball a lot, and don't forget, he's also a receiver, and, oh, don't forget, it's a long season. We want to keep him as fresh as we possibly can.
That would be a massive blow, though.
Yeah.
It would be. Absolutely.
All right, so here's a question. Buy or sell, okay? Clearly, the Commanders' offense is soaring. Are you buying the Commanders' offense that they are going to continue to ascend, however you defined ascend? Or are you selling that the Commanders' offense can't possibly be as good as they've been the last 2 weeks and they're going to come down to earth? Buy or sell? You're going to say that's a good question. I'm going to say you're damn straight it. It's a good question. It's why I'm the maestro. I'm the master.
It is, but you look at your next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. Pittsburgh is the 6th game. You've got Chicago's defensive front, Baltimore's defensive front, mm-hmm. Cleveland's defensive front.
Even Carolina's not as good as they were last year, but they are plucky on defense.
Yes, and then after Pittsburgh, you've got Philadelphia, Dallas, Tennessee, who's been mm-hmm. Who's been monsters up front.
Mm-hmm.
When I say regress, it's because I think they have to, right? Like, they don't have the personnel to be the best offense in the league. Unless Cliff is going to continue, I don't know. I don't want to put that cap on them to say that they can't sustain this. I don't think it's fair to say that they can't sustain.
So, and
because they've shown you nothing but their ability to sustain it,
but I
no matter
the question,
what the scenario
like,
is.
But I asked the question: can they continue to ascend? Right, and the question
ascend.
Is: yes, they can continue to ascend,
it
but it's unreasonable
different.
And unrealistic to expect them to average 40 points a game.
Well,
so
on.
Naturally, there's going to be a point per game regression, just naturally, and the opponents up ahead. But my question is 4, 5, 6 weeks from now, are they still going to be the talk of the NFL from a creativity, from an execution, third down, from an offensive line perspective, from a run game perspective, from a duality perspective, where Jaden Daniels is just doing anything and carving the hearts out of people?
I think they can be.
Will they?
It's to be seen. Like, they're going to have weeks where they're going to be able to move the football. They're going to have weeks where they struggle a little bit. I think Baltimore, because of the speed that they have defensively and what they do in their front, it's going to be hard to reach those guys. When I say reach, I'm talking about like a reach block if you're an offensive lineman. It's tougher to come down and crack if you're a wide receiver. They're just a fundamentally sound group. Cleveland's a really good group, I think. I just don't think they've played up to their expectation of last year. You said, do I think they'll continue to ascend? When you say ascend, like get better? Like, do
well,
I think
well,
this
again,
is the peak?
Well, again, ascend is wide open. That's why I labeled it.
Do I think this is their peak? I think they have reached their ceiling offensively in terms of production. Now, hear me out. It may look different, right? Like, right now, it's predominantly on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The running game may regress a little bit, but then you see the passing numbers increase a little.
Do you feel it's predominantly on the ground? I mean, I know the numbers tell us it's predominantly on the ground, but when I see this offense, I see a nice mix.
I do, which is why I don't want to put a cap on them, but I do think that, like, do I think they're going to continue to score 40 points a game against Baltimore,
right,
against Chicago, against Pittsburgh? Like, that's those defenses is a little bit unreasonable.
Well, that's why I say my thing is, do I see them?
This is the better thing. Do I see them going cold? Which is, I think, is the scenario that you're bringing up where they hit a rough spot where it is, you know, a field goal
and
a half.
Yeah, where like 3 out of 4 games, they're, you know, scoring 13 points or less.
I don't think the NFL is caught up yet.
Yeah.
To what they're doing.
See, I think this Sunday, if I had to guess, and again, it's strictly a guess, I think they probably score in the low 20s. And I would say if they can get 24, that should be good enough to win. But what happens if they win a game and say they win a game 13-10. Is that going to change the context of how we view things? Because, again, this is a legitimate, significantly better defense. Whatever the Browns are, this is a legitimately, significantly better defense than what they faced the last 2 weeks. If they win 13-10, the defense looks good, but maybe that's because the Browns' offense is pathetic, even though I think pathetic is strong based on what I've seen. If they win 13-10, is that going to be okay for everybody? Is a win a win?
Look at what Kansas City's done the last 2 weeks. 22-17, 17-10. We consider them a top offense in the league. New Orleans scored 40-plus the first 2 weeks. Then they have a stinker against Philly where you scored 12.
Right.
And then last week it was like 24. I think they lost by 3. So, no, I don't think it's so early on in the season that I still think it's
you mean teams aren't what they're going to be in December. Early on in the season?
No, so I don't think so. But I do think Washington,
that leads right into my defense.
But I think Washington offensively will be, because the style of football that they're playing right now is primed
and
for December and January.
So they have run through 4 games, 115 offensive plays, according to Pro Football Reference Stats Finder, right? 73 rush, 42 pass, which would tell you it's heavily skewed towards the run. Now, obviously, those are not all called rushing plays, and that is a
scrambles
key.
Are in there as
scrambles,
well.
And even, again, read option keepers are – again, you have...
That's a running play.
It is a running play. I guess maybe I should say RPOs. RPOs.
Yeah.
Are not absolute called... It's called an RPO, but duh, you have the run-pass option depending on how you kind of see it. But 73 rushing plays, 42 passes, which would tell you, again, it's a much more heavily skewed running offense. And I'm not trying to suggest that it is that it isn't that more than anything else. But I would say this, again, since halftime of the Giants game, and I keep going back to that, I think this is a much more vertical, attack-driven offense than it was in the first game and a half when it was a horizontal attack offense if they were throwing the football, and it was a lot of run by design to allow everybody to get on the same page and also to try and move the football as effectively as they can while working in a rookie quarterback who quite honestly didn't play a ton in the preseason.
No, he didn't. But I do agree, though, like that was, to me, the changing moment as well as that second half against New York where you saw them, like you said, get more vertical with the pass game, attack the middle of the field, you know, have him participate in 5- and 7-step drops. Like, I think we've seen more of it, but I think their opponent, to me, is going to dictate largely what type of offense they want to be week to week. I think they've shown a lot of different stuff. What we've seen here in the last 2 weeks, in my opinion, though, is them kind of saying, hey, we're going to establish the line of scrimmage. We're going to try to stay ahead of the chains on first and second down. Can you stop us from doing it?
Right.
We'll do it by hook
stay
or by crook.
Stay on schedule.
Yeah, staying on schedule to me is like the number one objective for this group.
Yeah. See, I don't need this team to be explosive, to be averaging 400 yards a game, to be averaging 40 points a game. I need 24 points this week. That's what I need. I think 24 points is enough to get a win. Maybe I'm wrong on that if the defense has a really bad day tackling or if there's really like crazy penalties or crazy special team situations or what have you. I need 24 points this week, I feel, in order to win this game. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel that's what I need. Last week, the Vegas Raiders against this defense, the Cleveland Browns defense, only had 268 yards. Now, that's without Devontae Adams, and that's without a real quarterback. I mean, Gardner Minshew's a real quarterback, but, I mean, we all know Gardner Minshew is somewhat limited, especially compared to what we've seen out of Jaden Daniels. They are going to have to work hard to crack, I don't know, 325 in terms of yards. This is not going to be easy, which is why I ask you, on the defense, which you've been very critical of from a run's perspective and from an overall perspective, and yes, I probably have been a little bit more rosy than I normally am because I think I know what I've seen so far, and I think I'm right. I would say this. I am buying the Commanders' defense as much as anything from the trends that I see with my own eyes, but also, again, we are going into a period where
Outside of Baltimore, you're going against
pedestrian offenses. Cleveland, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Chicago is even pedestrian.
That's the thing.
Even though they don't have pedestrian talent.
They're pedestrian at this time, but right. I do look at that as a group that gets better as time goes on.
Okay.
So, for that reason, I
would say I'm selling the Commanders offense and I'm buying the Commanders defense. You are selling
the Commanders offense, I guess buying the Commanders defense as well, just because of the stretch of that right. To me is the number one reason. It's not for anything it's not for as much as they've shown, for as much as what's ahead.
A lot of great geniuses in the NFL that have won a lot of games would say it's not who you play, it's when you play them, right?
Yeah,
and sometimes that is a part of it, right? Quite honestly.
It's a perfect time for this group to get right and build some confidence going up against these offenses they're going to play.
148, Team 980, your call is coming straight up. On this, buy or sell, are you buying the Commanders defense, offense, or are you selling them? Are you buying the Commanders defense? Again, I'm sure many of you are going to be totally out, but I would love to hear your perspective of what you're not seeing and how they are just getting pillaged week in and week out by anybody that they play and getting dragged up and down the floor coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt's in a weird mood musically, huh?
Well, I just had to find something that was unforgettable because the Keys are obviously, they've been forgotten.
I didn't even make that connection. That's pretty good.
It's horrible.
That's pretty good. Horrible. If anybody's found Linnell's keys yet, please return them.
Listen, walk out of the house with two different shoes.
Linnell will sign an autograph for you, and he'll probably make up a t-shirt slogan in your honor, if you find his keys and other things that he's apparently
lost.
You
can be called Keeper of the Keys.
All in the same shot. Let's get out to the phones and let's get you guys aboard in here. Back to D-Dub, who I think called in, was it yesterday? Yeah, I think it was yesterday. What's up, D-Dub? How are you?
Dove.
Dove.
Love y'all too, man.
Oh, there you are.
Y'all go to the radio.
We got
I know
you.
It's a cockfight. What's up in there?
What's going on, man?
That's right. I remember. Hey, I thought it was yesterday, but I wanted to make sure. Everything kind of runs together in my feeble old brain.
Hey, look, man, I'm going to keep it real. As far as the offense, man, that quarterback we got, he's got the tangibles of a real quarterback. When he first started, and if y'all know, y'all know this, he wasn't really seeing the field like he's seeing it now. He was like, look at maybe one progression, maybe two, and take off. But now, credit to the offensive line, this rascal is moving around in the pocket and going through all four progressions. And then he got that soft touch that nobody knew he had, hitting my boy Eckler and them boys coming across the middle. Man, that's it right there. Now, as far as the defense, Allen and Payne getting double teamed. It takes longer to get off of that. My problem is two things, three things. They need them a corner, a linebacker to fill that hole when they're getting double teamed, because it takes longer to get off that double team to tackle anything. That's the problem to me. Y'all tell me what y'all think.
All right, thank you, Doug. Appreciate you, as always. I mean, listen, we know they need things on defense, right? Starts with a top-flight corner. They don't have one. Period. And don't forget, St. Juice is a free agent after this year. So you got to make a decision on whatever he is. They got to make a decision on how to on if they even want to pay him, right?
This whole double team thing with
I agree.
Deron and John,
I think it's a little overrated.
So overblown.
Yeah.
Like, guys get double teamed, man. Like, it happens across the league. All good players get double teamed. They got to make more plays. Bottom line, those two aren't even – guess who's got – Chase Young has more quarterback pressures than John Allen and Deron Payne combined.
It's not good. I mean, Chase, obviously, they say he's healthy. We'll find out as the season goes along.
Dorrance Armstrong leads the team in pressures. Is
yep.
that right?
Yep. Wow. Yeah. I mean, Dorrance Armstrong has been a beast the last two games after being virtually invisible first two.
Top 30.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know how often they've been graded as being double teamed, meaning Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne. I know this. It's not every snap. I know that. But yet they were double teaming Fedarian Mathis. And
he's top 15 in pressures, or top 13 in pressures, Dorrance Armstrong.
Okay, right. But in terms of John Allen and Deron Payne, like, even Fedarian Mathis and Johnny Newton were getting double-teamed on that one scoring drive in the third quarter that I've mentioned a couple of times this week.
Maybe that's
they were getting double-teamed, right? So you get double-teamed in the middle, period. You get double-teamed in the middle when teams don't fear what you have on the edge. But as Dorrance Armstrong continues to come along, and I don't think Dante Fowler was as noticeable last Sunday as he was last Monday, but as those guys come around, and if Javonte Jean-Baptiste and so on and so forth, Jamin Davis can give them something and a little more juice off the edge, then that's going to reduce some of the double team and some of the congestion in the middle, and maybe those guys get off. And I think you saw Like Joe Witt Jr. said today, he's like, hey, as a staff, we decided to reduce a lot of what
we were.
But
that's more for the pass defense. I think up front, like, there's got to be something that you can do to make teams pay for double-teaming you the way that they are.
Well,
I don't know if it's calling more run blitzes.
Yeah.
That's what I think the solution may be, is calling more run blitzes. I don't know what at what rate they're doing that, but that's how you do it. The guys aren't in gaps. The running backs aren't getting touched till 3-4 yards down the damn field. You cannot survive like that. I don't care how much better the secondary gets. I don't. They're playing better to me right now. They're more. They've been more consistent.
Well, I think you. I think you zoomed right over the root of the problem, right? Which is, of course, they can double team, and of course, they can pay more attention to those guys and move them where they want to if they can and if they can execute it. If nobody fears what's coming on the edges, right? And that's if true. The pass rush gets better, which it has gotten better the last two games, that is going to free up those guys, if they can be assignment sound, to do a little bit more and to get a little bit more advantageous. And it's going to thin out the herd, if you will. They can't pay attention to Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne.
Maybe you can, though, Chris.
If Dorrance Armstrong continues to hurt you.
It's no coincidence that this is what they struggle with in Dallas and it's happening here. Maybe it's a schematics thing. I don't know.
Some of it is a schematics thing. All right, we got to take a timeout. 158, more of your calls coming up straight ahead on the Team 980. Buy or sell on the Commanders defense, buy or sell on the Commanders offense as well. I'm going to give you a little number that you may not have realized when it comes to the offense. Cliff Kingsbury, that I want to get Linnell's thoughts on and see what he thinks about, and get your thoughts on as well on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.